And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today is the ninth Sunday after Trinity. And according to the gospel lesson that we just read, which is called the parable of the lost son, is prepared for us to walk through with it today in order to hear and learn from this lost son. This is a parable that Jesus gave to the Pharisees who scorned him for welcoming sinners and eating and dining with them. This parable is in Luke chapter 15. It starts at around verse 11. Prior to that, Christ has already given two parables. The first is the parable of the lost sheep, in which a shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one. And the second is the parable of the lost coin, in which a woman loses one silver coin and tosses and turns her house around, opens the couches, throws them apart until she finds this one silver coin. And in both these parables, when the shepherd finds his sheep, and when the woman finds her coin, a big celebration ensues as a result of finding these lost items. Big celebrations. So in the third parable of the lost son, we deal with an actual person, not a coin or a sheep. Unlike the previous two parables, this parable is centered around a father who has two sons. Christ narrates this parable, which again testifies why he, Christ, welcomes and cares for all sinners. Here we see the power of the will to commit to that which is good. The younger son, who is also the lost son, desires so much to leave that he demands from his father an inheritance. Now, this parable is full of expressions that hint at the fact that the younger son was disrespectful. He was pompous and arrogant and harsh, perhaps due to his tender age. He's about an adolescent. Nonetheless, his father respects him, and he gives to him that which he only could have attained when the father had died. After all, an inheritance is something you inherit after the person who is passing it on has gone and passed away. However, his father heeds to this young boy's request, not request, but demand, and gives the portion to him. In fact, in Luke 15, verse 12, it says he divided his property between the two sons. Again, in the ancient Jewish culture, although we don't want to spend too much time on the nuances of this parable, because it's a parable after all, but Christ, in sharing this, is trying to prepare for us what's to come. So this young boy had no claim in asking or demanding his father to give him anything. This was to be passed to him after his father had died. And in fact, he wouldn't have gotten as much as his father gave him. It says he divided it equally between the two. Had he died and gone on, the young boy would have probably gotten a third of the inheritance, and his older brother would have gotten two-thirds. But the father, in his compassion and love, divides it equally to both sons. So this son has gotten, you know, he's come into new money, he's gotten wealth, and then he goes to a far-off land, away from his father, and he squanders all this wealth in crazy living. And he soon, in the land in which he now inhabits, gets hit by a severe famine. Not only is there severe famine, but perhaps there's inflation, which I think we can all, you know, we've been feeling the past couple of weeks, because he can't get a good job. The only job that this young boy could get is feeding pigs, swine. And not only does he work in feeding these pigs, he stays with them and he eats the food that these pigs eat. This would have been considered an unclean thing as a Jewish boy. But at some point in this life, St. Luke writes that he willed himself. He comes to his senses like, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why don't I just get up and go to my father? After all, he has servants that are living far better than I am. Servants. They have much more bread than I could ever have. And so he wills himself to get up from the bog of the swine, to get up and go to his father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Please forgive me. And don't even take me back as your son. Take me back as one of your hired sons. I'll diligently work for you. And the Bible goes on to explain how it gives a perfect, it's amazing, it gives this picture of the father waiting, looking outward to the plains. Almost like he did this every day, wakes up, has his coffee, and goes out to the porch to sit and wait for this son of his who left. And one day he's sitting here, and all of a sudden he sees his boy who had left him walking back. And the father doesn't even wait for him to come to him. He gets up and runs to this boy and kneels down and kisses him and says, welcome back. And the boy is still trying to, you know, rehash what he had planned. Oh, father, forgive me. He's like, no, 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 don't worry about that. You are my son. He tells his servants, bring a coat, bring a ring, bring sandals, and restores him back to this sonship that he had lost. However, in the son doing this, his will was given to repenting. He came to his senses and said, you know, the best way for me to get out of this really, really horrible job that I'm in is to go to my father and repent. He wills it in himself. Mind you, when he left, the father never said, go away and never come back. He never said it. He never said, if you leave, boy, if you leave, don't you dare come back. He never said that. He kept an open hand waiting and praying that this son of his would come back. And the son had to repent to get to the realization in his own will that, you know, my father is still out there. Let me give myself to repentance and come to him and draw near to him. However, the act and will of repentance, as is the case for the lost son, isn't the only thing going on in this parable. There's also a will of acceptance and obedience that isn't going on with the other son. Seldom do we talk about the older brother, the older son, his reaction to his brother who was returning home. Like the Pharisees, this older son detested the fact that this person who had willfully and willingly left to become a sinner, who had trashed their father and brought the family name down, was now being accepted back like nothing happened. He was being accepted back into the fold cheaply. He abhorred the idea that he had been faithful to his father, yet he was never honored like this sinner who had gone and is now coming back. It's not fair. He said, look, all these years I have served you, Father, faithfully. I didn't sin against you, yet you didn't even slaughter the tiniest of goats for me that I might enjoy with my friends. Yet this boy who gave himself to harlots, to drinking, to squandering all that you gave him, he has come home and you've slaughtered a cow. Perhaps he was seeing the good, juicy steaks being flipped over on the fry. He's like, all this has gone on, and yet you're receiving him with such honor and dignity? It's not fair. How fair is it? I imagine the Pharisees saying something similar. All these years we have kept your law. We have prayed. We have tithed. We have given things and sacrificed at the altar. Yet you claim that these sinners, these prostitutes, can walk in and be welcomed and receive the same blessing that our father Abraham was given to our father Abraham. How fair is this? Look, they're prostitutes, they're murderers, they're thieves. How can they possibly be wealthy? You know, I identify more with the older son. I was never a child who rebelled. I was always a son, you know, son of a pastor in the church, never, you know, left home and abused my parents. But is my will aligned with that of Christ? This boy who never left his father's house. He was there physically, but his will, when his father saw the younger boy and welcomed him, and the other son was like jealous, and he's like, what are you doing? His will in that moment wasn't like that of the father. So whereas on the other end, you have a repentant son, this time you have one, the older son, who seemed like a good kid, who never left home, was obedient to the father, whose will isn't with the father. A Christian is one who is sold wholly to the kingship of Christ. As St. Paul says, because he died, he has released us from this sin, we are now servants to righteousness. My will after conversion is loyal in obedience to my Savior who set me free from the captivity of sin. But is it really? Not only does God will that man repent and come to the understanding that Christ bore his iniquities, he expects that his children, like the older brother, align their will with his. It's not enough to repent. Repentance and obedience go hand in hand. And this is the struggle of every Christian. I think about in the act of Holy Communion, when we draw closer, that's what the liturgy says, draw near with faith to partake of this Holy Sacrament. Even before that, for all of us to be here, there's an act of the will that led us to be here. There's no one with a shotgun every Sunday morning, you better wake up and go to church. No. There's no one in the pew saying, you better go get Holy Communion. We understand that as Christians, if our life is to grow and be nurtured in the way of Christ, we have to be sold to his will. And this is what this parable is about. The parable of the prodigal son, my goodness, it's been shared and talked about. From primary, you begin in nursery school, they're sharing about how you ought to obey your parents. You go when you're a bit older, do not drink, do not, you know, go out, do not disobey your parents. And a lot has been talked about that. But for the sake of us who are Christians, those who are in the Father's house, who never left, this is a good parable to help us examine this life of faith that we are on. We might be in church, we might be in the pews, but are we doing the will of the Father? May this be a reminder for us to recommit our will to God. Later on, as we come on to partake of the Holy Sacrament, the body and blood of Christ, let us pray to God to continue giving us the strength in this world, to continue to commit to the will that he has set before us as those who have been redeemed through his precious blood. That's a challenge for you. May we examine our lives in light of the will that Christ has for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.